Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together.
No, we won't. Everyone's gonna die, die, die,
die, die, die, die, die, die, die, die, die, die, die, die, die, die, die, die, die, die, die,
die, die, die, die,
die, die,
die, die,
die, die, die, die, die, die, die, die, die, die,
die, die, die, die, die, die,
die, die, die, die, die, die, die, die, die, die, die, die, die, die, die, die, die, It's just a natural connection.
Look, everybody does.
Simon and Garfunkel, the boxer.
Simon and Garfunkel, the boxer.
Wait, Betty White's gonna die like soon?
Yeah.
Sorry, eventually. Look, this isn't news. This isn't me trying to call. I just see. I mean, at least once a week, but often enough for me to say that. You know, there's some post about somebody, protect Betty White, this or that. And I'm like, guys, she's almost 100. She is 99 years old.
She's going to die.
It is a miracle she's still around. And like, yes, be grateful for every second you have with her. But she's going to die. She should die.
I thought you had like some breaking news alert. You're just saying
I'm sorry,
she's
I don't.
Old?
No, she's just
We were talking about how everybody was going to die. And this is something I've been thinking about.
Yes, Betty White's gonna die.
Because she's gonna die.
Not going to die is Patrick Stewart.
I'm gonna feel really bad if
Patrick
it happens
Stewart
this
and Donald
week.
Trump,
yeah, Katie, if it happens this week,
the end of the world will just be the two of them fighting over a volcano.
It's playing chess.
But
Donald Trump is not gonna die, but he's jealous of Colin Powell dying.
Yeah.
Katie, if Betty White dies this week, we need to have a talk about your time traveling.
I know.
Oh no.
I know. I hope that does not happen.
Say it
Don't
every week
me
so
if
that
it
no
does,
matter what.
Do not at me. Do not at me.
All right.
When she you can at me when she dies. Fuck, we've been talking about this for too long.
Speaking of dying, do we want to talk about Colin Powell dying?
We'll get there. How are you guys doing today?
You know.
I'm sad about Betty White potentially dying.
I am medium.
No, I'm sorry. I just need to say the point of me saying that is to enjoy every minute. Do not live in the future. Do not live in fear, but be prepared. That's all.
YOLO.
You don't need to preemptively mourn.
Also, enjoy every minute with like your loved ones. Not
Betty White. You don't know Betty White.
Well, I mean, if she is your loved one, then that's
sure,
fine,
sure,
but...
sure. The few people listening to this podcast who are very close friends with Betty
she's
White.
She's got a huge. This is actually going to be a surprise to you, Cody, but Betty White's family comprises a huge subset of our listeners. She's got a huge family. I know you think that she's single
prove
and
it,
doesn't have kids.
Prove
but she's
it by
a
rating
huge family.
And
rate, review, and tell us about your relationship to Betty White.
All
who's
I'm
still
say
alive.
Is,
she's still alive, guys.
When she's found dead, the police should look at Katie first.
It was Katie.
Oh, God damn it. I've now sworn several times, and it's 3 minutes
in. Happens.
Should we talk about Colin Powell? Should we just dive in and talk about the deceased Colin Powell?
Why not? You know what? Why not?
Yeah, he's dead as shit, and he sucked.
Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the blunt summary of his career. The long summary of his career is that he did a bunch of war crimes for, I don't know, like 50-ish years, and then he died.
I listened to... The Daily, talking about Colin Powell, and it was amazing. I mean, it really tried to paint a more sympathetic picture of him.
Oh, yeah, that's what
they
do.
I guess is not amazing, while still grappling with,
you know who didn't?
Donald Trump. Donald Trump really came for it. And he hopes that we talk as nicely about him when he dies.
Yeah, I'm just going to read it because it's funny.
I won't. They both suck.
When he dies, we'll be like, thank goodness, you eat shit, dead man.
When he dies, I've already planned that I'm going to tweet, ding dong, the witch is dead. I've thought about that for several years now.
Yeah,
I'll do that for all of them. I was just going through, so Powell, you know, fought in Vietnam, was an infantryman, We have like his diaries, kind of his notes that he took on a daily basis. And every day it's like, went to village, burned crops, shot insurgents. You know, he talks about how the helicopters would, like, anytime they saw a man dressed in a certain way, shoot near him. And if he moved, it was evidence that he was Viet Cong, so they would just kill him. They would steal food from villages and then destroy the rest of the food in order to, like, starve the villages out and, you know, presumably stop them from providing food to the Viet Cong. And then he played a fairly minor but not insignificant role in trying to cover up the My Lai massacre after repeatedly executing and starving civilians as part of one of the cruelest warfare strategies in the history of U.S. conflict. And then as a big boy, as a big man, big old man, he got up in front of the United Nations and was like, this isn't a debate. This is objective fact. Saddam Hussein has all these WMDs. We gotta go in and stop him. I'm Colin Powell. Oh. You can trust me. I'm not one of these crazy neocon nut fucks. And then turns out he was.
Was he? Oh.
So yeah. I'm gonna talk a little bit about what I was hearing today. I think it's frustrating hearing the journalistic media presentation of this same story, you know, of how he struggled and fought against and pushed back and was trying to be the voice of reason to George Bush and delay this. But ultimately, he did it. He was told to go stand up there specifically because the world trusted him for whatever reason, and they didn't trust Dick Cheney, you know.
Oh, wow.
So they had him go and convince people, and he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing at the time. So regardless of whether or not you want to frame him as trying to be the voice of reason, he wasn't, and he's complicit.
Well, yeah, they all knew what they were doing.
I also think it was interesting, this whole Powell Doctrine thing. Do you know about this?
Oh, God, yeah.
It's so funny. Not funny. It's horrifying. The Powell Doctrine being what he learned from Vietnam, being that you shouldn't go into open-ended wars. You should only go for a really solid reason, but then also come in with enough might to get the job done quickly and leave and end endless wars. And then fast forward a number of years later to the war, which he is directly responsible for.
Have the consequences of our actions been fully considered?
Yeah, for a little bit of clarity, like the Powell Doctrine, it's a list of questions that you should have to answer if you're going to, like, if you, the United States, are going to send troops in somewhere. Question one is a vital national security interest threatened? Question two is, do we have a clear, attainable objective? Question three is, have the risks and costs been fully and frankly analyzed? Question four is, have all other nonviolent policy means been fully exhausted? Question five is there a plausible exit strategy to avoid endless entanglement? Question six, have the consequences of our action been fully considered? Question seven, is the action supported by the American people? And question eight, do we have genuine broad international support? And Powell was involved, you know, in Vietnam, whatever, he was involved in some shitty stuff, but he was more or less just a dude on the ground, right? Didn't have any kind of leadership role at a significant level in that conflict. He did have a major leadership role in the invasion of Panama, which killed more civilians than Noriega had killed during his time in power. And then had been killed by his military. The vast majority of people who died in the Panamanian invasion were civilians killed by U.S. troops during indiscriminate bombing. Again, question number six is, have the consequences of our action been fully considered?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he was also the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff during the Desert Storm invasion. Mm-hmm. And that's generally seen as like the good war that we had because it was over real quick. Not a lot of people died from an American perspective.
Well, that's but when he got the everybody was like, oh, Colin Powell, this guy knows what's up.
Yeah. Yeah. But one of the things he orchestrated during that was a bombing campaign that completely mm-hmm. destroyed Iraq's civilian infrastructure, which led to tens of thousands of people dying because they didn't have clean drinking water or access to food. Was a direct violation of the Geneva Convention. We didn't, like, it was a good war because not a lot of Americans died and we were out quickly. And you could say, in fairness, when you're asking, like, do we have a clear attainable objective? Like, Desert Storm and Panama were both examples of, yeah, I mean, we did. You can argue that it was, like, criminal to go in there in the first place, but the objectives in both cases were clear and there was a clear defined end date. So in that case, they were better conflicts than anything that's come since. But it still is this situation where at no point in any of the numerous conflicts that Powell had a leadership position during were the consequences of military action fully considered. Right. At no point was number six ever seriously asked or answered.
Well, it was answered by, like, the actions taken.
Yeah. I mean, yes, it turns out there
will
be a bunch of consequences.
All these questions were answered eventually.
I've seen a lot of people talking about how he, in the years since, you know, 9/11 and her invasion, the never-ending war, and et cetera, how he has admitted that the intelligence was false, and admitted and understood his role, but also backed off from it, saying, "Well, I'm doing what the president says. What am I supposed to do? At the end of the day, like, he's a warrior." But it's like he bemoaned in different interviews, like, "I know this is going to be the first line of my obituary." And there was almost like this bitterness as if he didn't deserve it. But he just does deserve it. That's exactly what he deserves. And it's appropriate that, yes, it is the first line of his obituary of every article.
Yeah. And it should be. I guess there is a degree to which it's frustrating that, like, of all of the crimes against humanity committed by individuals in the Bush administration and by the administration collectively, like, he's getting slammed for it harder than perhaps some others have gotten slammed for it.
Yeah.
Because he was the guy up in front of the UN making that argument. But I don't know.
But
I
he's
don't
also
care.
The guy
they're
that
all,
got in front of
trash.
The UN to make that argument.
Yeah, he's
it's,
the guy
it's
who
true.
Let his he let
he's
his
not
credibility
the only one.
Be used to
he's
answer
not the
that.
Only person that we blame. But you
no, and he's
you convinced
he's,
us, and you convinced the world.
Yeah, and he's the one who later went
decided
on
to do that.
At least tacitly admit we made a lot of mistakes, which is like proof that he could have known it. He could have and should have known at the time, and he didn't. And it's a
moral
failing.
Well, there's suggestions of him being like,
person.
"Well, if I don't want to go to war, but if we are going to go to war, then I'm the one that should do it." You know?
Yeah, and that's dumb. A lot of soldiers throughout history have had that opinion, and their names in a number of cases were the German general staff in World War II. Mm. And you know what we call those people now? Fucking Nazis.
Yeah. I mean, that's always going to be part of it, part of the argument, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I have no, it's one of those things. I would be willing to bet if you met Colin Powell, all other things being equal, you would have liked him. He seems like a thoroughly pleasant, likable human being who was nice and considerate in his personal life to the people who were in it. He was good at charming people. A lot of journalists who were very critical of the Bush administration and talked to him, you know, liked him quite a lot. You'll find a lot of cases of that. And that doesn't matter because a lot of the most charming people in the history of the world have been war criminals. Because you can be a very nice person and a fucking monster. Bad. And in fact, it's more normal for monsters to be extremely nice, pleasant people than it is for them to be like howling.
Donald Trump.
Trump is a little bit of an anomaly. Most of them are very pleasant. You would probably, all other things being equal, like George W. Bush if you got to know him. Because the reason
Obama
he got
sure
to
does.
Be George W. Bush is he's charming.
Right. Like, the civility of brutality.
Yeah.
That's how you really get it done. It's one of the reasons Trump wasn't able to do as much as he probably wanted to, because he's violent,
really unpleasant.
Oaf. Like, yeah, just an unpleasant person.
Like, look at the Trump administration, obviously committed certainly at least its fair share of crimes against humanity. But there were constant leaks, right? Constant backfighting and people like selling each other and selling the administration out. Mm-hmm. That shit didn't happen to George W. Bush. You know why? because he inspired loyalty. Because he's a very pleasant person to hang out with. People tend to like him.
Right, but if your quote things. Leader is like yeah. a paranoid freak,
yeah, people don't like that.
Vicious to everybody around him, no matter yeah. who. Then yeah, that's gonna not only are people not gonna like that, but it's going to rub off on other people, and it's just gonna create a culture where everyone is a paranoid freak.
Yeah, I think if you really want to understand what evil people are like. Truly evil people, not just people who do bad things, but the real monsters among us, the folks who most deserve that term. The act of killing is still like the best documentary for that because it features a journalist hanging out with these people who in some cases strangled thousands of human beings like with machines on their own. And most of them are very nice people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean – content warning, I guess. It's fucking hard to watch.
Yeah, it should be hard to watch.
Exactly. Yeah.
But that's the reality of the most in a lot of cases the most dangerous kinds of evil is it's yeah, they're people you would like in another context. Colin Powell, you probably could have gotten along with. I bet he was an exceptional dinner guest.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's why like you get, you know, the marvelization sort of effect, like yeah, like you're not if you're not performatively a villain, then people aren't going to assume that the things you're doing are villainous.
Yeah,
but if you are and you live in a golden tower, then maybe people will be a little more suspicious of your actions.
Yeah, and that, Cody, is why the best depiction of a villain in American pop culture is Homer's boss from the Hank Scorpio from that episode.
Oh yeah,
where he,
one of the yeah. absolute classic.
Yeah.
He's so likable. He's so charming. It's yeah. amazing. He is a literal supervillain.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, after watching the episode, I'm like, yeah, Hank's all right.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have a problem with Hank.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Scorpio.
Oh. You know what I don't have a problem with? Taking
products and services.
Break. Yeah. Ooh. I don't have a problem with them at all. I love products and services.
I know this about you.
Can't tell which I love more, but. They're both great.
Well, you don't have to compete. It's not a competition. Yep. You know?
You don't have to. Well,
what is this? The communist which Squid Game?
Oh.
Yes.
Haven't seen the show, so yeah, I'm just going to react really neutrally.
Ooh.
Oh.
Ah.
Ads.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
And now we're back.
Boy, already?
Yeah, we're back and I don't know. I had enough of a rant on Colin Powell, I figure. I don't know. You know, one of the fair criticisms people could have of Behind the Bastards is that I have not really delved into the Bush administration in much of any detail. And some of it's just because, like, I think everybody knows more or less what they did. Blowback is a great podcast if you want a really granular look at it. But some of it's that just, like, it all makes me so fucking angry because I've spent a lot of time in the middle of the shit that they kicked up, and I'm just yeah. bad at talking about it without like.
That is extremely yeah. it's extremely personal for you, for all of us, because we're
yeah,
living,
it
we
should
live through
be.
It and
I was a child during it. It was the war crimes that my parents like enthusiastically supported.
And it's a big part of your career.
Yeah, it's yeah. just, I don't
and,
know,
like,
one
knowing,
of these days we will, like, I should.
Right.
But
like,
I
knowing
haven't.
What was going on even when it was happening, and, like...
I didn't. I was, like, a dumb right-wing shithead. Like I said, I probably would have been,
I mean, that
like,
kind of feels like
I'd been
a different
age, you know?
Project than yeah. Behind the Bastards, its own little show that's walking... an arc that walks through your experience of it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
also,
know.
Also,
I can pitch
kinda...
you on your own life
I don't
story
like,
some other
I wouldn't
time.
Want to center my life experience
no,
RE
but you can,
Iraq war.
But you
yeah.
can talk about the shift and like, you can talk about.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Through that lens, that's all, yeah. that's interesting to hear.
There's a lot to say. But I don't know. I'm just going to, I'm just chilling Wait. Out this week and having a fun read about all of the kids who got molested by the Boy Scouts.
Oh.
Oh.
Like 100,000, Cody. It's outrageous.
That's so fucking God. High. What?
Yeah, it's out of its mind. Yeah, it's like Catholic Church numbers.
That's like so. That's such a large number. That is.
Yeah,
not,
it's.
Is there
it's
like
obscene.
A database of all this?
It's yeah, actually, kind of. The Boy Scouts started keeping one in 1920, called, I think it was the P files for pervert files, of like people who weren't supposed to be allowed to be scoutmasters again because they'd molested kids and gotten fired. But like a huge number of them got in again and again. And the Boy Scouts had this whole policy of like, right? well, we're never going to call the cops about this. Like, we'll just try to not hire them again. But also when every other youth organization in the country starting in 1985 starts requiring criminal background checks for their employees, which is literally the minimum, they fought like relentlessly against the idea. And as a result, repeatedly hired convicted child molesters. No, it doesn't. Yeah. Anyway, a little preview of an upcoming Behind the Bastards.
building the leaders of tomorrow.
Yeah, unfortunately, because like literally like more than a quarter of Congress people were Boy Scouts. It's like huge. I mean, I was a Boy Scout. I loved the Boy Scouts.
I was a Girl Scout.
I had a great time in the Boy Scouts.
I had an okay time.
It's one of those things when I talked to like my parents about like my dad was Catholic, and so I talk about like the crimes of the Catholic Church, and he's like, like, I get it. I know it happened, but like, I was an altar boy and like nothing ever happened. And I can get that because, like, yeah, I was in the Boy Scouts for a long time and it was great for me. And I don't think I or anyone in my troop was molested, but like 100,000 kids were. So,
and that's the
it's
problem.
It's this like thing. It's this, it's, yeah. And it's the thing that is so morally complicated about it is just like squaring, like, well, this was great for me. It was also a nightmare. Like, on the whole, a nightmare.
People can't seem to hold both truths in their mind, that just because I had this experience doesn't mean someone else has a bad experience. And it's my job to listen and hear when other people share their experiences. And it could have happened to me.
Yeah, it sure could have. I was alone a lot with a bunch of dudes that my parents decided to trust me with because they were Boy Scouts. And it turned out they were all fine. But who knows? Shit happened to a lot of kids.
The P files?
The P files. Yeah, something like that.
I mean, that's...
It's bleak, and there's a lot of weird shit about Robert Baden-Powell and some stuff he said about kids, although I don't think he was a child molester, but he definitely said some messy stuff.
Maybe not, but...
I think he was sexually attracted to boys. I don't think he ever had sex with any boys.
Yeah.
He was a weird one. There's a lot to say. Again, we're about to do an episode this week. Yeah. It's going to be a fun time for everybody.
Robert's really looking forward to that.
Yeah.
What should we talk about now, guys? Talk about some strikes. IATSE.
We got some strikes.
Strike
news.
I love IATSE.
Strike news.
IATSE. So you might have seen on social media that the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers have reached a tentative contract deal with the IATSE leadership. And there was some celebrating because, you know, otherwise the strike would have begun yesterday, Monday. But the reaction is very, very mixed. And so the jury is still out on this. It seems to be a little bit of a clusterfuck of a situation here. Part of the problem being that this is, you know, I mean, the amazing thing about this is that it's a industry-wide strike, you know, would have been or could be. So there's a lot that needs to get incorporated into this deal. And I think that there were some things that were met and there was a lot that has not been met. And the prevailing feeling that I'm getting from my social media feeds, but I shouldn't say in general because I don't know. I'm not a member. It seems to be disappointment and frustration at giving in too soon during a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity when you have the world's attention. And it seems like that might be true. I'm going to read a quote from Max Schwartz, a studio electrical lighting technician and the local 728 Young Workers Committee co-chair. He wrote the statement, "While people may argue that this is a historic victory, and for some locals like 871 it is, it fails to live up to the situation before us. Never again in history will our union have the leverage against mega corporations like it has now to create deep, sustainable structural change." So, yeah, I'm not sure exactly where things stand now, but I think that it goes back out and people are going to, like, talk about it individually within their different chapters.
I don't know. I hear there's a lot of complaints still that it doesn't go far enough. There's still like a lot of overtime people are going to be required to do. There's some discussion I've seen online, particularly in comments on Naked Capitalism, where people involved in this and the John Deere strike are kind of chatting. And there's discussion that maybe the success of the John Deere strike and the leverage they have is going to inspire IATSE folks to not accept the deal and push back.
That's.
I mean, I want them to get everything they can because for fucking sure the companies like the Disney and whatnot are.
Well, right, and like also like now's the time, right? Like if they accept this deal,
literally
that's not
the only time,
enough, then yeah.
Because there's clearly this attempt where they're like, oh, you might not get the Mandalorian in time to rally the fans against the people. Against the people without whom there's no content.
And they're trying to like.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's tricky. I understand that this is a daunting position for leaders to be in because a strike obviously would fuck the studios, but they are rich. The people that the strikers are not. These people are fighting for a living wage, and it is a precarious situation to be putting everybody in. How long will we be out of work? What's going to happen? And so I understand that it's a really big cost-benefit analysis. But again, once in a lifetime, this is the moment. This is the moment, and we kind of need people to seize this moment. We need people to stand strong right now and fight for the things that are important.
And the fact that there are people that they're communicating with these other industries and other people on strike seems like a very good sign. That's the kind of organization that can create real power for each movement. I didn't realize that that's what was going on, and that's very good.
I mean, hopefully. We'll see.
Hopefully. But I do want my Mandalorian soon, so maybe work overtime would be good.
I mean, I think what's clear here is that Pedro Pascal, if he really wants to support the struggle of people to liberate themselves, needs to just put out a daily video during the strike. Where he just reads stuff. I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
Maybe take your shirt off. Maybe take your shirt off and read stuff in front of a webcam.
Maybe take your shirt off. Maybe keep it off.
Maybe keep it off.
Maybe
continue
after
reading
page,
in front of a webcam.
You get like a toy lightsaber and go. Vroom, vroom, vroom.
Yeah, literally just, like, anything. You know? Just move shirtless on camera for us. Mm-hmm.
These are all great suggestions.
Yeah, hit Pedro up on Twitter. Ask him to support IATSE by. Just
shirtless
getting
videos.
That. It looks so confining on him, you know. And LA's warm, so you know.
Even now, even in October,
you know? Take your shirt off, Pedro.
Shirt off.
Come on,
Pedro.
With enough sexual
especially
harassment,
especially in October,
Pedro. We know that friend of Betty White, Pedro Pascal, is listening right now. Mm-hmm. So
we do
take your shirt off.
Take your shirt off.
He is
well,
very handsome,
they have
isn't
to
he?
Be friends because Betty White was on Community and Pedro Pascal was on the Community Zoom thing where they read that one episode and he took over for that guy's role in the episode after.
Oh, did he?
Pierce died.
So there you go.
Yeah. So cool. they got to be.
Oh,
friends.
He read Shane, not Shane.
Yeah, yeah. The lawyer guy who was like reading Pierce's will. Yeah, that's what he
Goggins.
Did. So he must
Goggins.
Know Betty White.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. No, yeah, he definitely does.
I don't know. I think all celebrities know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they haven't met, they know each other.
Incredible news for all of you right now. So on our work email, we get these updates, these inside radio updates that are about like just stuff happening in the world of radio because we're for iHeartRadio. And the email I just got was, you know, the title was External because it's from outside the company. Dan Bongino on Cumulus, we're going to have to come to an agreement quick. And it's about some Dan Bongino stuff.
Yeah,
I don't
no,
care.
Saying,
because
the
shortened
vaccine stuff?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Because my actual inbox, you know, it doesn't display the whole title. You get a shortened version on the title.
Yeah.
And the shortened version of the title is Dan Bongino on Cum.
Oh,
it's so good.
Oh, I see
what,
it.
That's
it's
what we
Dan Bongino on Cum.
I see it. It's so good.
Oh man, I am. That really just made my week. All right, well, that's going to do it for us today.
Like that. Smile on Robert's face.
I don't know how we move on from there.
Yeah, as a society, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think we did it. We can pack everything up, right? That's incredible if you could screenshot it and then just like
I'm literally tweeting it right now, Cody. All right.
Well, I'm not sure if we can end the show just yet, but we can throw it on ad break.
Ad break?
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together.
Okay. We're back, and other news just broke that's not related to Dan Bongino on Come.
Although it kind of is.
It kind of is.
In a way.
I'm sure that we can find the through line here together. Mm-hmm. Sophie sent us this page 6 item of Kanye West dons bizarre mask.
It's also in Michael like Cohen more meeting. I just want to clarify, it's also in like more reputable sources than
I'm sure,
six,
but so. That's what you said.
Yeah.
It's also in Rolling Stones. Page 6 said the best photos. Sorry.
It is an unbelievably disturbing mask. It's true. What are they doing? Yeah, what are they doing, guys?
It reminds me of the mask that our friend Dave Bell wore for 48 straight hours while he was playing the Alien Isolation video game in his bedroom.
It does. It is reminiscent of that. It is. Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's fucked up.
It's fucking weird. Like, it's the kind. Okay. It's the kind of thing that, like, okay, Kanye walking around with this mask. I don't care why. If it's like an anxiety thing or like some art bullshit, whatever,
go ahead.
It's just
some Kanye shit.
It's some Kanye shit.
It's just
shit.
Some Kanye shit.
Exactly. Don't care. Fine. More power to you. Love you, buddy. Keep wearing the mask around. It's very disturbing.
But yeah, why are you having multiple meetings with Michael Cohen?
Yeah, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck?
Because he's Kanye West. He just does shit. You shouldn't, well,
He's like, I don't know. He's like, yo, I want to. It's probably political. No, maybe not. Maybe.
No, he's ill, right? Like,
yeah,
he's been committed before. Like, he's ill, but he's one of the wealthiest people in the world. So he's never going to get treated. He's just going to get enabled. And he's gradually pushed away the people who did at one point try to, like, push for him to get treated. And he's sick, but he's rich, and because he's rich, and because he's not ever going to like be in danger other than, you know, not taking care of his mental health. But whatever,
well,
he's rich,
the
so he'll be fine.
The purpose of the mask was so that people would not recognize him. The first 10 minutes we sat down, he was mobbed by people who wanted photos and to say hello. So he put on this mask to give him
I don't know Kanye well. Not a fan of his music in particular. Nothing against it. If I saw that walking down the street, I'd be like, well, that's Kanye West.
Yeah.
That's clearly Kanye West.
Far more conspicuous. But Robert, that is a really important thing that you said, that he's not well. We have to always...
Yeah, and that doesn't mean
Do you guys see this?
Yeah, he's not well. He's not well. And he
like
he never,
that should be the beginning of every conversation about on a Kanye West stunt.
Can we talk about Michael Cohen, real good guy? We suggested to Cohen that maybe he should try wearing a mask around town for more privacy, he jokingly fired back, "I've seen your face. Maybe you need a mask."
What a man.
What?
What a great man.
To the photographer.
That's some, fucking, that's some classic Trump shit. Hell yeah.
Paparazzi.
Yeah.
Same guy.
I will say
same guy.
The best thing about Michael Cohen is that he is responsible for the one good joke Donald Trump ever told, a legitimately exceptional joke.
Which was,
please tell.
It was when Michael Cohen like came out and like said that he was testifying against Trump and started like doing his whole like throwing Trump under the bus thing.
Yeah.
And Trump just tweeted, "I strongly recommend that you not enlist the legal representation of Michael Cohen." It was actually very funny. It was a good joke.
I mean,
occasionally he has them.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's not even occasionally. It's just he's funny. He's the funniest president we'll ever have. There's no his statement on Colin Powell.
That's hysterical. Yeah.
Like, I don't want him back. And it would be really nice if he redacted soon. But like, very funny.
Very yeah, but man. Usually it's he's funny because he's just a goober, and that was him actually telling a joke.
He wasn't.
He's not being an alien man who like is speaking.
Yeah,
like
he was actually like that was
before.
Actually just a very well constructed joke that he told on the Twitter.com. Yeah,
true. Oh well, we've really come around on Donald Trump here today, haven't we?
Look, I fair or not, if a man tells a good joke, I'm going to give him credit for it. I spent too long in the comedy world to not do that.
Yeah, and you call him like you see him.
Call him like I see him.
Just call him balls and strikes. Is he stinker or a knee slapper? Are those the two? Those the two options? Why is this the second meeting they've had together?
I don't know. Who the fuck knows? Like they could be putting together an album. Like they could be about to drop a Michael Cohen Kanye West joint. Nothing would surprise me.
It truly could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
They say real estate.
Sure.
That's
okay. Of course. If you're like, Kanye West, Michael Cohen's the guy you go to.
Yeah, most crimes do involve real estate. Scummy lawyers.
Yes, if I'm billionaire Kanye West, the guy I'm going to for my real estate questions is disgraced lawyer Michael Cohen.
Right, like, what? Okay, yeah. Real estate. That's
no, they're making a book or something. Maybe they're launching a podcast.
Ooh,
well, that'd be cute.
Would I listen? Would I definitely listen?
Would I crave it
right now? Yeah, I'd listen once or twice.
Oh, man.
I only listen to one podcast. It's fine.
What's the podcast you listen to?
Oh.
And why is it Come Town?
It's called Rude Tales of Magic. It's incredible.
Oh. Okay. Oh, on the Small Beans Network, right?
No, it's a D&D podcast with Branson Reese. It's a comic artist. Funny.
Oh, good.
This isn't like, I wasn't intending to like plug this show, but if you want, go to their Patreon. It's amazing. It's the only podcast I listen to. And ours.
This week's episode is brought to us from, you don't. I know for a fact that you don't. Cody's never listened to any of our podcasts.
It's just, who has the time?
I don't listen to my podcast.
I've said it. It's been said.
I listen to Knowledge Fight, and I listen to my favorite podcast, The Serial Vapists, which I downloaded 7 years ago.
What is that about?
Oh, it's a podcast about vape culture in North Carolina. It's hosted by four men who didn't think calling their podcast The Serial Vapists was a bad idea.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Hey
wow.
Guys. Did you know that that New Zealand had an official wizard?
Yes.
No, what?
Yes,
what?
I was aware of that.
An official wizard?
They
because
don't
he had the job I want.
Why don't they have it anymore?
Wait, so I have a question. So, Robert, did you know about this before he was fired?
Yes, it's the job. It's literally the only job I've ever actually wanted.
I'm sorry, you're going to have to explain this to me.
They have a wizard, Katie. He's actually the city wizard, if I'm not mistaken.
Like, does he do any wizarding?
Yeah, he's the Christchurch city wizard.
What kind of wizarding does he dabble in?
Well, whatever wizarding he dabbles in, he also dabbles in some sexual harassment, which is why he's no longer the Christchurch wizard.
Yeah, unpleasant statement.
He's not a nice man. Look, he's a wizard. Nobody expects wizards to be nice.
I didn't think that was a thing that existed in real life, is my confusion.
Yes.
Only once and only one place and not anymore.
Which is the greatest tragedy of our modern
era. What did he do as his job, in his job, other than sexual harassment?
Sometimes you need some magic done. He's got to go, opening a mall or something, and they need some magic at the mall. He does some magic. It's his job.
So like rabbit and hat trick?
He's like a communicator for like the city.
Yeah.
But like with wizardry.
In Portland, we have a guy who rides a unicycle that shoots fire out of his bagpipes while he's on his unicycle. Which is lame and sucks, actually, I think.
I'm sorry, but that is more specific to me than the general term wizard. Okay.
I mean, it's very specific because there's only one city wizard.
Yes, but what's his job duty entail?
To be a wizard, Katie. When you're watching Lord of the Rings, Katie Stoll.
I'm a wizard.
When you're watching Lord of the Rings, are you thinking, what is his job? What does Gandalf do? How does he make his money?
Gandalf, I know, has some specific skill set, which is magic.
Yeah, that's what the same with wizardry. The wizard in Christchurch.
Okay,
he does magic and he's an asshole. Every wizard has the same job. They do magic and they're a dick. From Elminster to Gandalf, whatever wizard you want to talk about, they're assholes and they do magic.
There's your
that's
small
wizards.
Beans, asshole wizards.
Yeah, they're just assholes.
Didn't we have something like that?
Yeah, deep cut.
We should.
We
actually,
will.
That is literally the... no, Welcome Back, Potter, maybe working title was Asshole
it was
Wizards.
It was based off Asshole Wizards.
Yeah, it sure was. And fucking, look, Alan Moore, wizard, comic book writer, tried to end the world with a spell woven into one of his comic books. May have succeeded. You can't say he didn't. Look at what's happening.
Know. Time will tell.
We're watching it happen, right?
Yeah.
Right. Who knows where all this came from? Maybe it's a wizard's snake job that lives inside of his soul. We don't know.
All I want is to be a city wizard or a national wizard. I'd be the country's
wizard. Well, I hear that there's a job opening available. Yeah, there is.
In Christchurch. Call me up, Jacinda Ardern. Mm-hmm. Call me
up. I think you should call her up. You're the wizard.
Mm-hmm. I know she's read one of my articles, so maybe I'll get to be a
really?
Wizard. Yeah.
Slide into
there's
DMs.
A law because of it.
Hell yeah. You get an annual salary of
$11,000.
That's
enough.
That's pretty magical.
Yeah, that's enough for wizard stuff.
Can you zoom into your wizard duties?
No, but you can astral project.
Exactly.
Which is like zooming,
via
but
Zoom.
Lazier. Yeah.
I can call
it's
it
like Zoom.
Projection.
It's Zoom, but a little windier.
Yeah.
I can project my voice. Do you mean like make a phone call? No. Anyway, I found out that there was a official wizard of New Zealand.
It's
when
very
he got
funny.
Fired, and I had to bring it up.
Imagine getting fired from your job as a wizard.
Unbelievable.
It did kind of happen to Gandalf.
Yeah, but it's got to be like one of the easiest jobs to keep if you want to keep it. Keep your mouth shut. Do your little tricks.
I mean,
keep your mouth shut. Do your little tricks.
Can you give me an example of a trick that the city wizard would do?
I would say that what we know of wizards suggests there's actually high turnover. For example, the Lord of the Rings trilogy takes place over a roughly 13-month period. Mm-hmm. We are introduced to two wizards, mm-hmm. half of whom are unemployed by the end of the book.
True, and also the other one makes a career change.
He does, right? He does make a shift. He switches jobs.
Exactly.
Goes from gray to white. Yeah. So, yeah,
and
a lot of turnover.
This is what you want, Robert? All right.
Yes! Yeah. Look, the job title alone is worth the...
Oh, absolutely.
It's like being a journalist, you know?
I mean, I think that you're the Wizard of iHeart, so there's that.
Thank you. Thank you.
But is he the official Wizard of iHeart?
I could try to get that be my job title.
You could, and you should, I think.
Anyway, we're going to have to get Alan Moore on the podcast.
Okay.
Yes, please.
This is literally my only dream.
I mean, yeah, like, absolutely. You joke, but yes, that would be
No, he's a beautiful maniac. He should be the city wizard of Christchurch.
He really should. Or wherever he is. I assume he's like the official wizard of wherever he is at that moment.
Yeah, it's
right?
Somewhere in like the Midlands, I think.
Yeah.
The official... Okay, I'm going to have to look into this some more, but mm-hmm. We can continue this conversation sometime.
We sure can.
I mean, we have to. It's the law.
We had a steam here today.
Well, I have more to say about...
Wizards?
Always. We're not going to talk about it, but I just want to say, if you're listening, if you've watched Squid Game, you need to know that Tim Pool and some sort of contingent of people on the internet seem to believe not only that it doesn't really have a political message, but that if it did, it's anti-communism.
It is.
And
we're
need
not
everybody
spoiling Squid
who's
Game
seen the show to know
most
that
of
that's
us in
an opinion
Zoom
that is out
have
there.
Not seen it.
It is hilarious. It's embarrassing.
It's funny.
It's very funny.
I love it.
I
love
like
that
I
for them.
We three of the four people in the Zoom room have not seen Squid Game, but all of the people in the Zoom room know that it is in fact political. It clearly is.
I mean,
yeah, there's a scene in which a lady expresses that she fled North Korea for South Korea thinking capitalism would be better, and specifically
and
does
wasn't.
Not say that it's any better. Like
while she's in a fucking death game.
Yeah, while she's in a death game. The message of that scene is not look at how much better capitalism is. It's actually these are both trash.
And
the people
and
of Korea deserve better than either of these systems.
I love when people don't understand blatant. They're purposely misunderstanding it.
I think some people are purposefully misunderstanding it. Like, there's no way Tim Pool actually thinks that.
He doesn't think anything other than what is the thing I can say to get people to tweet angrily and thus make more money.
Exactly. It's attention stuff. And we're giving it to him now. I just think it's so funny. Like, it's out there. And people, some people do actually think that this is true, that people read too much into things and, like, you're interpreting it when it's not there. And that's just, like, such a sad sort of way to watch art.
Yeah. But it's the reason that conservatism is, like, so fundamentally soulless and dead unless they're actively physically trying to harm people, which is why that's the only thing that, like, their street movements ever get excited about is assaulting and
well, it's what most of their art is about, too.
Yeah, it's just about violence. All they have is doing violence because they reject the idea that art should be about anything actually meaningful because inherently meaning, like real artistic meaning, always runs against the things that they believe about the universe, because the universe they believe in is devoid of beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Unless it's like pretty columns or paintings mm-hmm. of landscapes. That's all it is to them.
Yeah. Hitler shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It was one of those, like, realizing as a kid, oh wow, the only art that like, as conservative as she was, my mom's very favorite movie was Alien, and the message of Alien is pretty anti-capitalist, actually. If you want to watch it, Ridley Scott is not saying nothing about capitalism in Alien.
Oh God, no! I mean, that's the fascinating thing too, because, like, yeah, you know, you see it with like an Ian Miles Chong or whatever talking about RoboCop, yeah, and like, I bet you think RoboCop is political.
Jesus,
all these things
Christ
are political.
Yes, Paul Verhoeven was never not talking about the fact that the United States was a death cult.
Yeah, it's like it's just like, and there's, you know, maybe an argument to be made that, like, some things these days are a little more on the nose and more obvious. But,
yeah,
like,
sure.
I've seen people like, but Candyman, the new version of Candyman came out, and they were like, oh, they put their woke politics about gentrification in this. And it's like, that's what it was about. Like, also, like, the idea that putting politics in horror movies is like, why are you doing this? Like, that's like the one of the most political genres in existence.
Yeah, it's inherently political. I mean, I my opinion on drowning kids in the lake at summer camp was changed inevitably.
Exactly,
from,
because
from
of
the
art.
13th.
Thanks.
Yeah,
sure.
Because of art. I used to be very pro that.
I'll just go on a limb and say that art has always been political.
Well, it's like an expression of, like, emotions and values and experiences.
I mean, it's not always political, but it's always,
well, no, but like, that's
been a, like, part of art.
Tangled up in it, exactly. And it's just hilarious to look at something that is, like, not just like, wow, there's like a message in there, but explicitly political, where even the creator is out there talking about how, like, yeah, one of the characters is kind of like Donald Trump, don't you think?
Yeah.
And it's like, guys, come on.
I have to say, Tim Pool's take on Squid Game is very funny, and as dumb as you'd expect. But my favorite is the guy who calculated that, well, they spent like 10, he spent, the writer spent 10 years writing it, and the network spent $24 million filming it, and mm-hmm. it made more than $900 million. But if the writer had just bought 15,000 Bitcoin in 2009, he would have made more profit.
Oh,
see, content is just as amazing.
I saw that. That was I will say,
that's unbelievable.
I will say that was definitely a troll.
It has to be. It has to be.
I know the account you're talking about.
What
it's
a funny troll.
Funny. It is exactly the kind of thing someone would say.
Yeah.
It is like, you indistinguishable from reality.
Indistinguishable from, like, unironic crypto discussion.
Exactly, yes. Like, you know, half the people that were responding to that tweet were like, yeah, you're right. Anyway, go watch Squid Game, I guess. And then the Alien TV show that's political now. They're making Alien political. I can't believe it.
Oh, no. They're making Alien a show about low-paid truckers whose lives are sacrificed for a tiny chance at profit by faceless corporate executives who we never see in the movie, and who literally have a member of the crew whose only job is to murder everybody if that is the most profitable outcome. That movie, they're putting politics in it, Cody.
It's disgusting, I know.
They're putting politics in the series whose second movie was fundamentally an allegory for the foolishness of the Vietnam War and the uselessness of advanced military systems and budgets in fighting.
You're reading too
conflict.
Much into things. Okay. Things don't matter. Also, final Resource recommendation. Wars. I just watched Snowpiercer, a movie about how public transportation
about
is
trains,
bad.
About nothing but trains.
And how trains are bad, actually.
Trains are bad. We should just fly. Yes. So, the meaning of Snowpiercer.
I don't know about that.
Well, cool. Someone hasn't watched Snowpiercer then.
I haven't.
Well, it's about how trains are bad. So.
Trains are
but
bad,
are,
and
but,
we should
planes
we
are,
should give
we should all be
fish
flying?
To the cops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. No, you followed. Yeah,
yeah.
Is this a culture
movie podcast?
Are we talking
now?
About movies?
Yeah,
talking about movies
I don't know.
Shit?
I mean, we could do a once a month culture cast.
worst.
Everybody comes
ever.
And talks about the things that they're watching.
Yeah, everybody comes.
And yep.
Dan Bongino.
Starting with Dan sure. Bongino. There we are.
There
brought
we
it back
go.
Around. Guys, you can check us out online at Worst Year Pod.
You can.
And that's it.
That's the
yeah.
end of that sentence.
That's the end of that.
Everything's so dumb. Everything's so dumb, and it's gonna get dumber.
Great.
I tried.
Yes.
Daniel.
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.